Welcome back to the Grandstand. This is the Hungarian Debrief. Pushan here in Paris, and we got F. Knowles in Paris as well. How you doing?
Yo, it's so funny. Whenever we're in the same city, we actually can't record together still. Unless we were in the studio, but that has never happened either because our schedules never align.
Right. Yeah. We've also once recorded in the same place, but in different rooms because we didn't have the proper.
Yeah, I was in a bathtub. I'm almost in a bathtub actually right now.
May or may not have included a champagne bottle somewhere there as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the people need to know that we love a good time.
You know, we just do what we see on the podium, you know, champagne and something in our lives.
And cracks and porcelain.
Lando Norris. Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good. Lando broke a 40,000 pound trophy this weekend.
It's the most expensive trophy, I think, in Formula One.
Also, who the fuck makes porcelain trophies? Like, a trophy should be metal, should be shiny. I don't want a fucking porcelain vase. That looks like something you put your dead grandmother's ashes in. Like, come on.
Damn, dude. Some Hungarian's coming after you for that comment, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, I think Lando's got to fit the bill for this one because clearly his fault. But yeah, this is a weekend of records. There's a lot of records. And even Sir Lewis Hamilton was involved in some of these. Ooh. But let's roll that intro and get into it.
Fred Durst, roll it.
A question for all of you except Romain Grosjean.
To whom it may concern, fuck you.
More ladies in the paddock? Yeah, more paddock access to some women. There's too many dudes.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that, except that he was being a pussy.
Where should we start? Red Bull. The surprise of the weekend is that Red Bull won again. Max's seventh win in a row.
Surprise of the weekend.
Whoa, no one saw that one coming. Nope. We could say that surprise of the weekend was that Checo finally made it to Q3.
Ooh, wow. That's mean, dude. That's just... Checo's dad's going to come after you for that. You've got now the Hungarians and the Mexicans.
Yeah. I've got a bone to pick with Checo, but we'll get to that. Yeah, okay. So Max, as usual, completely dominated. Seventh consecutive win for him. 12th consecutive win for Red Bull that beats the 1988 McLaren all-dominating car with Senna and Prost. And this is also Max's 11th race that he's led from start to finish, tying Michael Schumacher. And the largest winning margin of the year, 33 seconds for car 33. To Lando Norris in P2.
Stat boy.
Second consecutive podium for the first time in his career. Lando racking him up.
Lando's got to get a win, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, I think Lando even said, like, yeah, if Max DNFs, we could get a win. That's kind of like how the whole field feels.
Kind of everyone point. Feels that way. It's funny. I don't know if funny is a word, but... holy shit. What? Yeah. This dude is on another level. I wasn't able to watch qualifying live, but I'm sitting and just going crazy because I was in London actually, and everyone's going nuts for the fact that Lewis was on pole and beat Max to it. It was great. But
I bet it was one of the most exciting qualifying sessions in the last few years. honestly, it was wild. So there was a lot of things that happened leading up to race day. Obviously, Danny Ric was back. And within minutes, opening minutes of FP1, we have Checo putting it into the wall. Just as everyone's getting excited to see Danny Ric do his first lap, Checo puts it in the wall. So we had all those camera angles, DR3 going past Checo and all that. So all the memes were pretty good to start off.
I thought, you know what? I got to say, I thought our episode photo from last week was kind of it. When I saw that happen, I was like, all right. Wow. Checo really just like is cracking under pressure, and DR3 is just, he's like, bye later. Bye, bitch.
It could not have started better for DR3. And not any worse for Checo, who literally just put a wheel on the grass for no reason. He was just trying to attack too much, but he clawed his way back into the weekend, and he made it to Q3, like we said. But yeah, that was an entertaining start. And in qualifying, we had a new concept of having one tire compound per qualifying session. So Q3, all drivers had to go out on hard tires, Q2 on mediums, and Q3 on softs. One of the initiatives for Formula One to go more sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I think that threw a huge change in the way teams ran their free practice sessions, limited the running somewhat. And we'll see. Some drivers were not really into it. Others preferred it. I don't know if that was the cause for this really entertaining qualifying session, but we had Lewis Hamilton, who beat Max by 0.03 of a second for pole. And
Jets already, in there, Lewis.
Yeah, it already looks like a throwback qualifying session back to 2021.
I mean, he was stoked.
He lost his voice.
He was. I mean, I haven't seen him that happy. I mean, have you seen him that happy on the grid? It was nuts.
No, he was. I mean, he was super excited, and he even said it felt like his first pole position. So yeah,
that's definitely awesome.
Special.
Yeah, super. No, I mean, and I gotta say, going back to the new cost caps and the new regs, Adrian Newey got this car right for Red Bull, but we're starting to see what it could be in the rest of the field, honestly.
Yeah, Red Bull aside.
Red Bull aside, yeah.
It's getting actually tight. Ooh, Max aside.
Max aside. Jeez. I can't believe I'm saying that.
Let's get to the start now. Yeah. Lewis has been getting off the line pretty well this year, and one of the best starters. But on this one, initial launch wasn't bad, and then the second phase, just no drive, and Max was able to dive down the inside. And as it happens between those two, they don't give each other an inch, and people behind them scooped up some positions, especially Piastri launched into P2. Norris got stuck for a minute behind Lewis because he couldn't turn in because of them going out,
right,
going so deep. And then Norris actually got ahead of Hamilton as well. Those McLarens really fired up their tires, and they look really racy in those opening laps.
We've got a big reveal for you.
Oh, you got some insider info?
No, not insider info, but a change of heart.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel like I've heard that for a certain car number 14 before.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, you know what? Let's get into McLaren's, because I mean, Max won. He got the lead, and he never lost it. He led the whole race. Let's look at what happened behind Max. We had both McLaren's chasing him down. Checo made it to Q3, like we said, but he only started P9, and he got driver of the day for a P9 to P3 drive. Which,
yeah, it's your turn for a rant.
Checo needs to finish P2, and the fact that he's applauded for something that's subpar is a little strange to me. I'll just give you a quote from an F1 journalist. Says, you can't over-reward someone for underachieving about Checo. And I think that's a really nice way to put it, because Checo has no excuse for not finishing P2. And the only reason why he got driver of the day is because he qualified poorly because of him trying to just take it easy in qualifying. Did he have a good race? Sure, but it's not a driver of the day for me. And he needs to do better. He needs to get P2s. He needs to lock down P2.
Yes, I don't understand driver of the day.
I thought DR3 was just going to get a bunch of votes because he was back.
You know who I thought I was going to get driver of the day? Oscar Piastri.
Oh yeah? All right, let's hear it. You have some praise for the young Aussie.
You know what? There was a moment when he and Checo were going toe to toe, and this kid is good.
Yeah.
He's calm under pressure. He doesn't make the same mistakes that I think Max made on his way up. And I think Zach Brown has a problem on his hands, personally.
As in his driver lineup's going to get spicy.
Yeah. I mean, it's cute and fun, but no, and granted, you know, he obviously didn't make the podium, but just his driving style during the race, you know, earlier in the season, obviously the car wasn't performing. I mean, McLaren, holy shit. What a comeback. It's like a bigger comeback than Lewis's hairline. And, you know.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Yeah, it says a lot. Not.
Yeah, just Google Lewis Hamilton 2008.
Yeah. Sorry, Lewis. I love you, man. But yeah, like it's something else. It's really cool. It's something. I think as a motorsport fan, to see this brand, this company, figure it out that way. It's Red Bull better watch out.
Yeah, I think that McLaren clearly is the second fastest car now. We said in the last episode that, you know, we had them back in Austria really fast in Silverstone, and now on a track where they thought they'd struggle to do this well, especially compared to Merck, is really impressive. And both those drivers very, very closely matched. Piastri continues to perform. I mean, I called it earlier this season. I said future world champion. And I would say that about Lando as well. I think both of them are just very, very fast drivers. And Piastri has a lot to learn. And, you know, he's not making the mistakes that Max did, you mentioned, but he also has a way faster car already than Max ever did in his first season.
Well, I mean,
don't forget he was at Toro Rosso.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll get to Ferrari in a bit.
Oh, wait. The unwarranted Ferrari drop there.
I was with some Tifosi this weekend, and there was a lot of ranting going on.
Yeah, but Piastri did well. You know, I will say, I'll put a little caveat on that. I think he did really well. I think it looked impressive the way he defended against Checo, but as soon as he did that, he damaged his floor.
Yeah.
And he lost P4 to Lewis because of that. Otherwise, he might have had a podium.
Well, when he went off, yeah, he won, or he went P4. Off on the curb and into the grass, yeah.
It looks super impressive. It's at T3, I think after T2, he hung it around the outside, which surprised everyone. We're all going nuts. It looks really cool, but he went over the curb, and that didn't do too well for the underside, especially these new regs, you know, that it's all about the floor. Apparently 60% of downforce comes from that floor.
As we saw in Monaco.
Yeah, it's crazy, as we actually saw it in Monaco.
We did. We actually got to see it.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm not going to throw him under the bus for that. I think the fact that he can hang with Lando, and the opening lap was amazing when he just got past Lewis and Lando, and he almost threw it around the outside on Max. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he's got. And hopefully this McLaren keeps going, because I want to see, it's nice to see a new face, a new talent is born. So he needs a podium very soon.
What are you, Lady Gaga? Like in A Star Is Born?
Oh, is it?
No, the movie with Lady Gaga and
that's right.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, A Star Is Born.
A Star Is Born.
We're gonna. Yeah, that'll be a meme that we'll create. No, I just it's great, man. It's good.
What about Merck? Okay, so you
obviously Merck.
You were super excited. You were super excited on Saturday. What did you think of this performance here?
The car's not there. Lewis apologized before he was even in to turn one, or maybe it was after, but the his start was bad. Like, just let's be perfectly honest. That was not the start he needed. And Lewis rarely apologizes like that on the radio. Right.
Yeah. He's usually the one complaining.
Right. And he was like, sorry guys, he botched it. I don't know what I would be so interested to sit in the, you know, in the driver's debrief. Merck. They're kind of going through a Ferrari moment. No, it's a little, I don't know who's going to show up on the weekend. Honestly, that's where I'm at. What team will we see?
On Friday, they were nowhere.
Right.
On Saturday, they get pole.
Right.
On Sunday, they're nowhere at the start.
Right.
Granted, it was more of a, it is, this car is a handful to drive on heavy fuel. It's the balance doesn't seem to be there. And in the end of the race, Lewis was catching Checo a second a lap, and Checo was, you know, going after Norris as well. So it wasn't like Checo was coasting.
Right.
So why is the car sometimes quick, sometimes not? I feel like Merck doesn't know why the car does certain things. And that's a bit problematic, I think.
You know who I bet knows? Adrian Newey.
He knows,
like,
all.
He's like, yeah, he's like, well, I'm not going to tell you. But yeah, Merck, you're right. Like, they don't know what car is going to show up. Who's going to be there on the weekend? What can we get? I mean, and obviously it depends on the track and the weather conditions. And, you know, this weekend we had new tire format. So those things do matter. But Red Bull's been look at the consistency that they've got. I mean, Red Bull's been so consistent. It's stupid.
Red Bull's a machine. Yeah. And you know what? The pole was a great lap, but if Max didn't mess up his lap, he would have been on pole by a quarter of a second.
I think it's just shocking to see a team who was so efficient and was, I have to say, was doing what Red Bull is doing now for.
Some might argue not as well.
You're saying Merck didn't?
I mean, we're celebrating the 12th victory in a row. Right. Merck never got close to that.
This might be a summer break conversation.
Could be, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here.
No. I'm not going to say that that's not a valid point to make. But yeah, no, Merck is just.
All right, let's table that one.
Yeah, we'll table it.
Operationally, also, there was a few mishaps in qualifying. Russell got completely screwed in qualifying.
Yep.
When he was sent out a bit too late, but he also was a bit soft, I thought, against other drivers. There's a gentleman's agreement where you're not supposed to pass when you're setting up for your last lap and the time's winding down. But as we see, it's every man for himself out there, right? And Russell really got caught out by that. But he did come back in the race, P18 to P6, which some might argue he could have gotten driver of the day as well. That was a comeback drive worth pointing out. But operationally, it isn't as smooth as it was maybe even earlier in the season.
Yeah, no, not really. Not, I don't know. I it's interesting because Toto's starting to feel the pressure. I feel like, and it started last year when he had that outburst that is now famous on Drive to Survive. And well, no, it's, you know, where it really started was Abu Dhabi in 2021. But
no, Mikey, no. No,
don't test me with a good time. Yeah, no, I think, I don't know, man. It's very interesting to see what's happening there.
They've had their ups and downs, so we never know.
But I think they're a team that can recover from it. That's ultimately it. Like, I'm not concerned.
Right.
I'm not concerned that they can't figure it out. I just, and this is, it's the nature of sport though, right? You know, you can't be the best all the time. You have to learn. It's like life, really.
Just dropping some truth there.
Yeah. Let's get real deep. Well, it is my birthday, so I'm like thinking about that.
Think about time, how it affects us.
Yeah. We'll see. I really am not worried about them. I just think it's like, as a fan, I'm like, whatever. You know what? I was happy to see Lewis on pole.
Yeah, 104th. That's a record. He broke a record this weekend. There we go. Who would have thought,
Stat right? Stat boy.
Yeah, that's right. You know who else is slipping, though? Very, ooh, and I wouldn't say steadily. I know
where you're going with this.
Aston Martin. as I mentioned earlier, car number 14, who is Fernando Alonso, as you'd love to point out, wanted like he claimed that he was going to be on the podium for the rest of the season.
Big since claim, then, claimy Lee Curtis.
And since then, how many podiums did he get?
Zero.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go hard into the mic on that.
Zero.
Wow. P9 and P10 for Aston Martin. When you look at the numbers, they're not further away from Red Bull than they were at the beginning of the year. But the problem is that Merck and McLaren have now kind of filled that gap as their updates have brought them closer to Red Bull.
Yep.
Aston Martin, I don't know if they're fully switched to next year or not. Yeah, they're looking like possibly the fourth or even fifth fastest team now. And they were the second fastest team a few races ago, which is...
I love it, though. I'm not going to lie. I love it for the nature of the sport. Like, American fans, I will say, I think we tend to always want to... We're like, oh, well, why is there such a gap between first and second or, you know, within the context of Formula One? But what's happening between P2 and P7 in the constructors to me is amazing.
Yeah. And here, all right, here's a question. All
ooh,
right. So,
ooh.
All right, check this out. The
there's
last
a team we haven't mentioned yet, or I've mentioned, I'm ready to get to it.
Oh, I know which team you're trying to get into. I'm trying to delay that. Last two races, McLaren has scored 58 points. In the same last two races, Aston Martin has scored 9 points. Wow. Ferrari has scored 13 points. And Mercedes have scored 45 points. So right now, there's a gap clearly between Merck and...
That's some Rain Man stat shit, but...
Yeah, McLaren is 80 points behind Ferrari. Hear me out, for P4. Uh-huh. But on the pace, like on the rate at which they're scoring points right now, it is not impossible that McLaren finishes ahead of Ferrari or even Aston Martin by the end of the year. I think Mercedes is out of reach, but I don't think P3 is out of reach for the Papaya boys.
All right. So today is July 25th, 2023. It is 4:41 p.m. in Paris. You made that claim. So we'll come back to this.
I said it's not out of the possibility. All right, let me ask you, where does McLaren finish this year? So right now, let's just say, all right, Red Bull, okay, who gives a fuck about Red Bull?
Right,
Mercedes 223, Aston Martin 184, Ferrari 167, McLaren 87. Where does McLaren finish?
I think McLaren finishes P4.
Okay, realistically, I agree with you. That would already be a feat, to be honest.
Well, considering they weren't scoring points in the beginning of the season. So
I think... All right, You think they overtake Ferrari? It's a good segue now.
Yeah. If you think that was unintentional, you'd be wrong.
My goodness. Ferrari, I'll let you take this one for now because Ferrari P7 for Leclerc, P8
honestly,
for Sainz.
I don't know. I've said enough on this this podcast, so I don't
know
anymore.
All right, I'm going to take this one then. Ferrari, the one positive for this weekend is they were faster than Aston Martin, but they finished over a minute behind Verstappen, the race winner. And between the wheel gun issues during pit stops, the rear tires overheating, Leclerc speeding in the pits, the faster driver not being given the better strategy during the race, it just looks like the progress that every Tifosi is looking for is not arriving. And the more worrying thing is that it seems like it's getting worse.
I gotta shout out to our boy Ian Costa. I'm sitting, like I said, I couldn't watch the race live, but I'm watching our text thread come through. And not only did our big dick energy F1 shit talk corner pop off when that happened, like everyone's like, what the fuck, Ferrari? But big ups, Ian Costa goes, fuck you, Ferrari. I hate you, in all caps. I hate you, Ferrari, like a child saying to their father who didn't get them something at like a carnival. you know,
or the like, ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. The, exactly. He was like, I hate you, Ferrari. I could hear it in his, in that, I gotta say, if you're a Tifosi right now, and this goes to an earlier comment I made, Piastri is in his rookie season and he's confident in what's happening at McLaren. I think Charles is, but they have a great, incredible driver lineup, and yet they have no confidence in what's happening at that team. And it's so obvious.
It really is. When you listen to the radio, the way Charles speaks, the sarcasm, the amount of sarcasm that's used at that team. And, you know, for drivers and engineers whose language is not English,
right? Yeah,
I feel like sarcasm gets lost in translation sometimes. There,
I tried to make a sarcastic joke here in Paris last night, and it definitely didn't land. So, sarcasm actually just means the opposite, and especially in another language,
right? And I think Leclerc is getting increasingly frustrated, and there's a lot of chatter. I think we'll get into it on our summer episodes.
Summer break, yeah.
But I'm not happy with where Ferrari is. I don't like the fact that when the race engineers get on the radio, it seems like they're the ones asking for confirmation from the drivers instead of them telling the drivers what's going on.
Oh my God.
It doesn't bode well for your confidence as a driver. I'll put it that way.
As resident IndyCar guy, can you imagine there's like spotters when you're on ovals?
You know, oh God!
Your spotter goes, he might be inside.
Or what do you think, bro? That's why you're spotting me.
Exactly. It's literally that. Yeah. What do you think? What do you think? Is he inside or not?
Should I stay on the? Should I go on the outside?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? And my God! And you know, we've hit a new low. Race.
All right.
Because
I feel like we got a cue oh boy. You've never said, I don't think I've ever heard those words.
Yeah, we have. we haven't. But we have hit a new low with Ferrari being outperformed by customer team Alfa Romeo in qualifying. Who Alfa was super quick this weekend out of nowhere.
Yep.
This track and I think and track temperatures, the whole combination worked for them. Guan Yu Zhou, huge shout out, qualified P5 with the boots. Valtteri P7,
incredible,
out qualifying the at least one Ferrari. One Ferrari at least, Leclerc. And then in the race, it all went south for Guan Yu Zhou, unfortunately, at the start. But yeah, that was a new low for Ferrari, getting out qualified by Alpha. That cannot happen anymore. So that's something to work on.
Yeah,
for Ferrari, you know, but great for Guan Yu Zhou.
And also just good for Alpha. I mean, even to have that is important.
Yeah. Let's get into the midfield. So a lot of storylines there. Obviously, Alpha thought they might pick up a lot of points this race, or a few points at least. Unfortunately, they both drivers kind of, so Joe botched his start. Bottas was right behind him. They both lost a lot of momentum. And Guan Yu Zhou, unfortunately, ended up braking super late, hit Danny Ric, who hit Ocon, who flew up and hit Gasly, his teammate. So Alpine's double DNF lap one. Another double DNF.
Just on the Alpine note, I think on our pre-Hungary episode, we had said Alpine needs a result this weekend. And holy shit, they didn't get it. And it wasn't even a fault of their own. And you know what you call that in hockey? It's a bad bounce. And it really is. Like there's nothing you can do about it. And that physically literally is, the puck goes one way and it just somehow ends up in the back of the net and you win the Stanley Cup. Or the other team wins the Stanley Cup. You're like, ugh. And that's that is kind of Alpine season right now.
I got a feel for them because that's the second time they come together, and it wasn't, you know, we're all talking about how these drivers have the potential to go head to head and
they,
it might be some
beef. Used to hate each other.
But it really hasn't been because of that, the two times they've come together, and this time nothing they could do about it. And to DNF on lap one, two cars, and the impact was so big for Ocon, it cracked his seat, his racing seat.
Wow, really? I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I broke it in two. That's because the back of the car bounced up so high and just landed. And I think that was pretty big hit. His
tailbone's got to be hurting.
Ooh, yeah.
Right on the ass crack.
I'll tell you what, though. They're a team that stays on that list. Need a result for...
We're looking at spa predictions. Alpine's still on the needs a result part of our predictions.
Well, you know who was on our needs a result for a long time this season until he got the boot was Nyck de Vries and his replacement DR3. Yep. We got to say, put in a solid performance all weekend, out-qualifying Yuki. And although he got hit at the start and ended up last, his experience showed well when he asked the team to put him on medium tires earlier to get clean air.
Yeah.
And he ended up jumping, I think, four or five drivers, including Yuki, who ended up being faster than Danny Rick in the race. But strategy was kind of screwed by what happened to him. Danny Rick, I got to say, experience showed. And it's great that he put in a whole race distance and that the car wasn't damaged at the start. And I feel like for his confidence, that's going to go a long way, especially going to Spa this weekend.
Well, what do we talk about? Is the car going to do what it needs to do in those low speed corners, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you need to put on the throttle and like you have to really like send it. He's figuring it out. And he's doing it very quickly. And to your point, he knew exactly what tire he needed.
Yeah. He called it. He called the shots. And that's what he has over a rookie like De Vries, who doesn't have that experience. But I'll tell you what, exciting. It's hard to really compare both of these drivers this weekend. It's a very odd weekend, but I'm excited for Spa to see. I think Yuki and Danny Rick is going to be one to follow again. Here, another milestone, 800th Grand Prix for Williams.
What?
Yeah, they've been on a bit of a... They've had good momentum the last few races, scoring points, and they knew they were going to struggle here. But Albon, P11, on a track that he thought was going to be really difficult for him, didn't do too badly. Sargeant wasn't really there, spun in the race a bit, kind of a sloppy race. But I think it should look better in Spa this weekend for them. One team that really didn't change the trend is Haas, with Hulk making it to Q3. I don't know if you saw Hülkenberg's haircut for this weekend.
Oh, I did.
The Hulkenberg bleached hair.
Also the same weekend as... Barbenheimer, which is, I thought it was just like a thing in the States. Holy shit, man.
Oh yeah, that's everywhere.
It's everywhere. The marketing on this is ridiculous. Barbie and then Oppenheimer. Yeah.
That's a crossover I never expected.
No. And yeah. Hulk, I bet Hulk was paid by Mattel to...
I hope so.
Fucking hope so too. Everyone's like, "Hey, look, it's you." Talking about me. or you should. Yeah, I was like, "Oh, okay."
Hey, Mattel, if you're listening and you want to sponsor, Knowles will bleach his hair.
No. Actually, I won't because it's natural, baby.
So you're saying you're the OG Ken.
All right.
It's your birthday.
Let's move on.
I'll let you have this one. All right. Let's move on. Actually, so yeah, Haas good in qualifying again. K-Mag was struggling. Hulk wasn't put in Q3, but in the race, nowhere once again. So I don't really know how to read this. But they haven't figured it out yet, and they won't figure it out in the few days that we have until Spa. Because
few days, yeah, it's in three days is practice.
They're probably setting up already as we speak.
Yep.
And it's time for our predictions for Spa and to see what happened. Oh, so what did we say last weekend? I think we got a decent amount of points, you and I. Yep. We both called Verstappen pole, win, and Perez podium. And I got P4 for Hamilton.
Nice.
So
wow.
A little
weird. Weird how you got that one. I mean, I saw you. I know that you did it in the moment, so it's fine, but...
Are you doubting my predictions here?
I don't know. I was told it's a new moon and something. So,
well, there's, you can always listen to that podcast.
We'll go back.
Unless you think I'm that good with AI that I generated my voice and re-recorded it just for a P4. So I ended up getting 4 points on you. We're now at 188.
Yep.
For you to my 158.
Yep.
Still a long ways to go. And points, it is your turn to go for first for spa this weekend.
Damn.
And let me just preface this by saying spa is going to be
I gotta look at the weather real quick.
I'll tell you the weather. It's going to be raining on Friday and Saturday, but not on Sunday. And we have a sprint. Spa. We have a sprint on Saturday. That's huge.
Yeah, we're going to go Oscar Piastri on pole.
Oh, damn you. That's what I had.
He's won at this track. I think kid's pissed about what happened last weekend. This past weekend. But Max is going to win.
Yeah, this is his home race, by the way.
It is.
Half Dutch, half Belgian.
He gets two home races. It's bullshit.
three with the A1 ring, if you count Red
Bull. Enough. There should be a limit on how many Orange Army people. That's why, De Vries, unfortunately, never got
any. If it makes you feel any better, just think of them as McLaren fans when you see the orange crowd.
Right, like Lando says, a lot of papaya in the crowd. Yeah, so Max wins. I think Lando gets another P2. And Lewis P3, though he historically does not have a good history here. Right?
He's won, I think, three or four times. Won. Not bad. Yeah.
I wish Seb was on here for this race, honestly. Who's going P4? I'm going to go Charles. I think Charles, yeah. And then, And then Piastri is P5.
All right. Potential for Gromo.
Big, big Gromo potential here. Big Gromo potential. I don't want to put Dan. It's somehow I'm like leaning Danny Rick. But,
oh man, don't do him dirty like that.
Not gonna do our boy dirty. I'm gonna go Albon.
Wow.
Albon. Okay. I don't know. Sorry, Alex. It's your turn.
Wow.
It's like doing the dishes as a kid.
Yeah. No, don't take it personally, Albon.
Yeah, it's Alex. Not personal.
Okay, it's so I actually business. I was gonna go for Piastri on pole as well.
Okay.
But since I wanna make up some points on you, I'm gonna go Norris. Remember Norris last year, really good in the rain, hit the wall, unfortunately, caused that red flag. That was 2 years ago, sorry. I think Max wins, unfortunately. I think Perez finishes P2.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Checo. Shit.
Yeah, I saw. No. I thought you were going to give Checo your Gromo. I think P3 goes to Piastri, first podium in Formula 1. Hamilton, P4. And Norris P5 with the Gromo going to, I'm going to go for Valtteri. Just playing the numbers here.
Damn. Yeah. Oh boy. The VBE. Actually, if I could give a Gromo to anything not a driver, I would probably give it to the circuit at Spa.
The circuit. Yeah. Yeah. Let's hope they've changed. I don't know. They haven't had much time. Spa. I hope the rain isn't too strong this year. We need dry conditions because too much potential for accidents up there.
Yeah,
as we've seen recently.
And unfortunately,
let's have a clean weekend, and hopefully, I will get a shitload of points on you, Knowles.
Oh.
Yeah, watch out for Piastri's first podium. But yeah, it's coming up. Last race before summer break.
Summer break.
Spa, the real driver's track. We'll see how, I'm interested to see how the teammate head-to-head goes this weekend.
This is my favorite track, I think.
Same. This sends Suzuka for me.
This, yeah, Spa is, it's a just so, I mean, it's so fast, but also slow. And Kimmy, I love Kimmy when he was driving on this track. Just, you know, shout out to the Iceman. But
it is Kimmy's Mr. Spa, he was called. Him and Shumi had really good records there.
Yeah. I just knew how to just drive the shit out of this course. So,
yeah. Well, it's about that time of the year. Don't forget your ponchos if you are going to Spa, especially for Friday and Saturday. For all you others who are not going to Spa, make sure to follow us on our social media at the Grandstand F1 and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll be back, F. Knowles and I, next week for the Belgian Grand Prix review.